Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this Christmas morning is taken from a couple of different places. We'll actually read from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 1, first 14 verses. Then we will read from Paul's epistle to Titus, out of chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, and then chapter 3, verses 4 through 8, where we will read in the name of our Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then continuing out of Titus, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Then continuing later in Titus, but after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, we come to you washed. And we come to you thankfully, Father, because we are pure in your sight. Father, we know that it's all because of that child, your son, and his finished work, that we have such a great, marvelous gift. And Father, we pray that this day and every day, that gift would be constantly ever in our hearts and minds. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is indeed truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. John starts out differently from the other Gospels. Starts out from the beginning, the real beginning, the beginning of beginnings. And he tells us very clearly that this word, the word, that's a very interesting Greek term. It covers almost everything. But in here, what he likely means by it is this expression, this means of giving the revelation of God. He says, this was God himself. And he says, this has always been from the beginning, and he created everything that is. He has life within himself, and that life came to give light to humanity. And he says, and that light came forth to shine in the midst of the darkness. And you recognize that this is all language out of the creation, light and darkness. He says, this light now came forth into the darkness, and the darkness could not get it. The darkness could not overtake it. It could not comprehend it. It couldn't get it, because light is not part of the darkness. You understand right away when you flip on a light switch, and unless you've got something blocking the light, it goes everywhere. Light drives out darkness. And that's really the point of what John was talking about. What he was talking about was to understand that the incarnate God and the incarnation of God sheds light into the entirety of everything that is created. It brings that light. And that light is to achieve a singular purpose. That is to enlighten us. It is to give us light so that we can see. And he says, this is the real thing. This term that's translated true from Greek actually has more of the sense of meaning real. This is the real deal. This is the real deal. And this real deal, he says, now enlightens every human being. When this being enters into the world, this light now comes to the fullness of all of creation. It comes to every human being. But he understood the nature of the darkness, as he says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. He says, he came to people, but people could not accept him in terms of their own understanding of things, because they were of the darkness. But he says very clearly, as many as received him, as many as recognize him, he says, he gave them the power. In other words, this is an interesting term too. He gave them the right. He gave them the right to be the children of God. He gave them the right to understand themselves as the children of God for everyone who believes on him. And he says, because whoever believes on him is not born of natural means, simply. They're not born of blood. And what this means is by blood relation. Says they're not born because somebody who is human desired that birth. He says they're not born out of anything that came place, and he uses the term for the male here. He says this is not because dad wanted this. He says, but they're born of God. And you see, this is the message of Christmas. is to understand this birth, to understand this second birth, to understand this rebirth of the race, this rebirth of humanity, that this was God's desire. God sent his son to be born in the manger in order for people to understand and realize that now God had reversed the curse. God had restored the race in all things. God had brought this restoration. So as Paul says in Romans 8, all of creation is longing and waiting for the day of that final deliverance. The babe in the manger is the indicator that that final deliverance is guaranteed. It's done. He has succeeded in purchasing the redemption of the race by the power of his blood. He has forgiven us our iniquity, and he has brought us into this place where we may now speak of ourselves as indeed the very children of God. And he says these majestic words, and the Word was made flesh. You understand, you can never read verse 14 apart from verse 1. In the beginning was the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And John says, we have seen his glory, is the translation. This is another Greek word that means all sorts of different things. Here it likely means his image. We have seen the image of God. We've seen the reflection of God. We have seen God. And we've seen it in the image of the only one who is begotten of the Father. And what is that image that we see? His grace. He's full of grace. And he's the real deal. Being full of grace and truth, that's what it means. He's full of grace, and he's the real deal. See, nothing else around us is really real. If you do quantum physics, you understand that. Nobody even knows what's going on in anything. It's only sensory to us because it works with our senses. So we sit around and we say, yep, that's real. And at the end of all things, it says it's going to disappear like that quick. It's going to be over that quick. But he says, this one who comes to us, he's the real deal. He is reality. And what is God's reality? He's full of grace. He's full of grace. The babe in the manger is a message of grace. It's to indicate that all along, even from the time of the fall, when Eve first was deceived and Adam then followed suit, that God said very clearly that it would be from her seed, that he would bring forth the redemption of the earth. And we heard Gabriel speak to Mary, because she is the seed of Eve, and she is that means by which God fulfills his promise, that God's son would come forth from this wonderful woman, and he would remake the human race. And the human race would see and know one thing: grace. Mary says, how can this be? Says, how can this be? And Gabriel basically says to her, it can't be otherwise. See, this is where we struggle as human beings all the time. Because we're always asking the question, how can we be saved? Is it possible for me to be saved? I'm such a sinner, how can I be saved? And we've got the whole thing backwards. We don't understand. How can we not be saved? If God in His grace chose to do such a marvelous thing, how can we not be saved? Why do we ask all the time, if I can be saved, instead of understanding, how can you not be saved? If you know the Son of the living God, there's no way you can't be saved. There's no way. And that's what makes this message so incredible. John says, we saw it. Not only were we told about it in the prophets and all that kind of stuff, we saw it. He walked right here with us. We watched him do all this stuff. And we saw it. We realized the grace of God. God is really just authentically that gracious. And that's why Paul says what he says in Titus. This actually doesn't fit the translation very well. In Greek, what this actually says is that, for has appeared the grace of God that brings salvation to all people. He says, the grace of God has now appeared that brings salvation to all people, so that we would understand. To all that receive them, he gave them power to be children of God, to count themselves as children of God. And he's summoning constantly, drawing people constantly, coming and trying to say, don't make me into something that I'm not. See me as what I am. I am your gracious Redeemer. I love you. I love you so much that I came to be with you, that I came to dwell with you, so that you would see, that you would know my grace. Understand that if you have the slightest clue, there is no way that I cannot save you. I will save you. As a matter of fact, I saved you. The grace of God has appeared that brings salvation, very unique Greek word, soterios. It means really something that applies salvation, and it means without any help. It means something that gives it to all people. And it tells us that putting off all of the ungodliness, all the other junk, that we should live aware of this. That's what soberly means. It means to be aware. He says, and live what we are. We're the children of God. We live righteously and godly in this present world because we're looking for his return. We live in hope. We live in expectation because we have the promise that our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, will return to us. Why? Because he says he gave himself for us, that he would redeem us from all iniquity. And I always ask my seminary students, so what's not in all? Pretty easy. It's an easy answer. Nothing. Everything is in all. He says very clearly, he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a unique people that are zealous, that want to do those things that are good. And that's why he goes on and he says, after the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared to human beings, after this kindness and love appeared, he says, not by works of righteousness that we've done. He says, but according to his mercy, he saved us by washing us with regeneration and renewing us through the Holy Spirit. And he shed his Holy Spirit, in other words, the presence of God. He shed it upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, the baby born in the manger. And you remember when he was baptized, John looked up and he saw the Holy Spirit come upon him. In order to indicate very clearly that now the Holy Spirit had been restored to humanity, Jesus didn't need the Holy Spirit, we did. For humanity, he received the Holy Spirit. And you remember when he rose from the dead and he first appeared to his disciples, the first thing he did is he breathed upon them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Paul says that we need to understand this Holy Spirit, which has now been shed upon us in abundance through the babe in the manger. That being justified by his grace, we are heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The baby in the manger is eternal life. He is the sign that God has restored immortality to the race. That we fear no death. Instead, we live our life. And he says, this is a faithful saying. And he says, and I want you to tell him this constantly. Every preacher loves these verses. Says he I want you just to tell them this constantly. He says that they which have believed in God would see to it that they do their duty, that they maintain what has been entrusted to them and do the good things they have been entrusted to do. He says, because these things are good, and they do wonderful things for people. And that's the message of Christmas. You see, God is so gracious and so good that God chose to save us. He didn't need prompting. He did it of his own accord. He freely did it because he so greatly loved us. And he decided that he would be good to us, constantly good to us. And he told us to do the same. Just go out and be good and do good. Because he says that's the thing that works. You understand why the seed of darkness has become so strong in today's world. And it's so hard to just do good. Good is spoken evil of. But that doesn't make us stop. We talk about the message of Christmas and we understand all the good things we do and the gifts we give and all of those things. Those are a picture of what God brings us to do. And he says, but I want you to do it for everybody. He says, just do good. Do good. We have this weird idea that somehow within Christianity, doing good is bad. No, it's not bad. It's good. It's good. Do good is good. And it works good. Because the oddest thing is to watch somebody that doesn't expect something good and to give them something good. Because it's very hard for them to speak evil of that good. Christmas is good. It's full of good. It's just good. Because God is just good. He's good. And he tells us to do good. To enjoy the good. Today is for enjoying the good. Enjoy the good. Man, have a good day. You know, it's okay. It's okay to have a good day. Enjoy the good. Do the good. It's good. It's just that simple. It's a gospel. That means good news. It's good news. Enjoy the good news. It's yours. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, no one could ever hatch a plan like this ever. No one. Only you. Only you abide in such a way that you graciously provide your salvation freely for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. By the power of his blood, you give us peace and you give us life, and you invite us today to come and to partake, to enjoy the good, because you offer this good gift to us. We pray, Father, that you would fill our hearts with the same. And grant us, Father, to know your goodness and to be good for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray with and for them who now will partake of the Lord's Holy Supper. Lord Jesus Christ,